What if our entire social system is fundamentally insane? In The Sane Society, psychoanalyst Erich Fromm challenges our most basic assumptions about progress in mental health. Consider the evidence. We celebrate technological advancement while engaging in repeated mass slaughter through wars. We sign permanent peace treaties that last an average of 2 years. We treat abundant harvests as economic disasters while millions go hungry. If an individual behaved this way, we'd immediately question their sanity. Yet we rarely apply this scrutiny to society itself. Most striking is Fromm's observation that the most prosperous democracies show the highest rates of suicide, homicide, and alcoholism. Denmark, Switzerland, Finland, Sweden, and the United States lead in these pathologies, while less materially advanced nations like Spain and Italy show lower rates. This pattern suggests a profound contradiction. Our modern way of life satisfies material needs while failing to address deeper human requirements. The concept of consensual validation often misleads us. Millions sharing certain ideas doesn't prove their validity. A folia millions, madness of millions, is entirely possible. Our culture elevates socially patterned defects to virtues and provides patterns allowing people to live with these defects without becoming manifestly ill. The automaton-like individual with an artificial smile replacing genuine emotion becomes not just acceptable, but idealized. Humans occupy a unique position. Physically animal, yet transcending nature through self-awareness, reason, and imagination. Unlike animals who exist through pure instinct, we've broken from instinctual determination, creating a fundamental dichotomy in our nature. This evolutionary leap makes us both divine and animal. Birth extends beyond the physical into an ongoing process of developing perception, speech, relationships, and identity. Similarly, humanity's collective development unfolds through history as we cultivate conscience and brotherly love. Each step in human emergence creates tension between progression toward humanity and regression toward animal existence. Both paths involve pain. Regression leads to suffering, while progression brings fear until milestones are reached. Our most powerful motivations stem from our existential condition, our unique human situation. Our passions and strivings represent attempts to solve the riddle of human existence. Mental health and neurosis both arise from this need, differing only in how effectively they address our total human needs. From our existential situation arise 5 fundamental needs for mental health. First, we need relatedness. Aware of our mortality and aloneness, we seek meaningful connections. While some pursue this through symbiotic relationships of submission or domination, only love enables union while preserving individual identity. Second, we need transcendence. Placed in existence without choice, we strive to exceed passive being through creation, of art, ideas, or love. When creativity is blocked, destruction becomes the alternative. Third, we need rootedness. Birth separates us from our natural home, creating isolation we address through new human connections. The child's maternal bond represents this primary security, though the need persists throughout life. Fourth, we need identity. As self-aware beings, we require a distinct sense of self. Modern society often substitutes true identity with conformity, a herd identity based on group belonging. Finally, we need orientation and devotion. Our capacity for reason and imagination demands that we make sense of our world through both intellectual understanding and emotional connection. True mental health transcends mere social adjustment to encompass qualities that fulfill human potential. The mentally healthy person loves while maintaining integrity, engages in productive work, develops reason and creativity, and achieves genuine rootedness in the world. This vision of mental health, defined by love, creativity, freedom, self-agency, and objectivity, persists across cultures. History's great spiritual leaders independently reached similar insights about human nature. unlike Freud's focus on physiological drives, humanistic psychoanalysis argues mental health depends on society's ability to meet human needs. A healthy society nurtures love, creativity, reason, and productive self-experience, while an unhealthy one breeds hostility and exploitation. This challenges two common views, that mental health equals adaptation to Western society, and that human nature inherently conflicts with civilization. Both perspectives defend contemporary society while ignoring how it often suppresses our most valuable human qualities. Modern capitalism transformed exploitation from personal relationships into anonymous market transactions, reducing workers to purchasable commodities without reciprocal obligations beyond wages. Though its form evolved, the core principle of using humans as means persists. The 20th century, particularly in America, saw capitalism reach its purest form as feudal remnants disappeared. Technological advances concentrated capital among few corporations, shrinking the entrepreneurial class from 4/5 to 1/5 of the workforce between the early 1800s and 1940. Modern business reduces concrete realities to abstract quantities, defining bridges by cost rather than beauty, people by wealth rather than character, and disasters by financial loss rather than human impact. Our reference points have become incomprehensibly abstract billions and millions. We now measure experiences against monetary value, evaluating concerts, trips, and social interactions by whether they're worth the money, treating life as a business requiring profitable returns, epitomized by Bentham's pleasure-pain accounting system. Modern authority has shifted from overt to anonymous control. Instead of direct commands, we now obey invisible forces, profit, economic necessities, and public opinion. Parents suggest rather than command, while businesses persuade rather than order, yet conformity persists. This anonymous authority operates through social pressure. People must blend with the crowd and remain adaptable, with the herd exercising power through subtle influence rather than explicit demands. Our economic system demands mass consumption, creating a new social character. Every desire requires immediate gratification, with installment plans replacing saving. Advertising perpetually drives cycles of buying and debt. While reason, conscience, and religion appear to thrive, deeper examination reveals decay. Modern individuals avoid life's core questions of meaning, death, and suffering, preferring comfortable illusions to direct confrontation with existence. A sane society must prevent the exploitation of individuals, discourage greed, prioritize conscience over opportunism, and foster human solidarity and creative expression, all while maintaining scales that enable active participation. The Communities of Work movement exemplifies these principles. At Boimondo, a French watchmaking community, improved productivity led to a 9-hour reduction in the workweek, with time redirected to education ranging from engineering to literature. Their guiding principle was, "We do not start from the plant, but from man himself." True democracy requires genuine engagement through small face-to-face groups who regularly discuss issues using objective information. These local assemblies can address community concerns while connecting to broader issues, transforming passive consumers into active citizens. Cultural transformation is essential. Humans must engage the world holistically, body and mind united. Our culture lacks meaningful ritual, reducing us to passive consumers rather than active participants in unifying experiences. The fundamental choice lies between robotism and humanistic communitarianism, becoming well-fed but insane machines, or reclaiming our humanity through decentralized work, participatory democracy, and cultural renaissance. As ancient wisdom states, "I put before you life and death, blessing and curse, and you chose life."